Good morning. Last week we began the actual nuts and bolts of Nisgei Shcheinim, and to briefly recap, we went through that we passed like Rabbi Yosi that al hanizik laharchik is atzmai, that in general, if you are being oisei b'tayich shaloi, you're operating on your own property, and your neighbor is suffering some level of damage. In general, he has to protect himself, and you're allowed to do what you want. And therefore, if you'd like to plant a tree, even though over time the roots and the branches may grow, and they may grow into your neighbor's foundation or pit and undermine it, nevertheless, since you planted in your property, you have the right to do so. When the roots reach his property and cause problems, he will have to fend for himself and cut it on his own. Now that being said, Maida Rabbi Yosi Begira Delay, the Rabbi Yosi agrees by Giri Delay, literally that means by his arrows. If you're shooting arrows from your property into the next, you certainly do not have the right to do so. And as we saw, you do not need actually an Adam Hamazik. You don't need to be literally shooting arrows. Even in a case where if you take a ladder and you put it near your friend's Shoivach, and where there's a Chashash, that as you're propping up the ladder, a Nemiya, an animal, will jump into the Shoivach and destroy your neighbor's birds, since that is also considered a giri delay, and it would be aser. Now there are different shatim in exactly what giri delay is, but generally the two criteria that are looked at are: does the damage happen immediately, and does it happen by directly with the action that you're doing in your property? Then it would be aser, as opposed to when you plant a tree and it's only over time when they grow and spread, that's where the damage is caused, that it would be mutter and you cannot prevent the person.
Why is it called considered giri delay instead of secretion? Because you don't know that there's going to be an immediate that's going to jump on the ladder.
Correct. Now, if you would know for sure, then in many cases it would be garmi. In many cases it would be adam hamazik, because if you do something and it miyad, bari hazeka, and it causes a damage, it's a regular adam hamazik, al tgarmi. Now, giri delay needs less. Giri delay certainly does not need that it's certain, but you can't argue that, listen, what do you want from me? I'm just minding my own business. Because if you're doing something that immediately can cause damage, that's not called b'toich shaloi. Now you're doing something which could directly enough hurt your friend, we have the right to stop you. Now, although Rabbi Yosi can only be ma'akeh by giri delay, last week we spent some time on the Chuvas Arash. The Chuvas Arash has a tremendous chiddush. He has a case where a person dug a ditch which water accumulated in his property, and over time, as it filled, it would overflow and flood your neighbor's martef, your neighbor's basement. Now, although it is not giri delay, although you're simply digging the ditch and over time the water will accumulate and then eventually overflow, nevertheless, the Rosh says in this case, where your neighbor cannot protect himself, he has no way, when there's a huge amount of water cascading into his property, he has no way to protect himself. And for the Nizik, it is fairly easy. Just move back a couple of feet, line your ditch with a little bit of sieve to make it more waterproof. So in such a case, we're going to cause significant damage to your neighbor where he cannot protect himself. While for the Mazik, it is relatively easy for him to address the issue, there we shift the burden. And although it is technically not giri delay, although technically you can do what you want and it's the Nizik's problem, in such cases where there's a hefs and meruba for him and he can't prevent himself, there we shift the burden on the Mazik. And the pshat in this is mistama based on the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish says that Nizkei Shcheinim is not a regular dinim of Mazik. Nizkei Shcheinim are takonis that Chazal set up in order to, neighbors have to live together. What one person does very often will have an impact on the neighbors. We have to balance a person's right to use his property the way he sees fit with his responsibility to the neighbors. So although normally the guideline is giri delay, if you're not directly bothering impacting the person, it's mutter. Nevertheless, in extreme cases where you're causing a big hefset and you're the only one that can resolve it, Vir Chazal shifted the burden. Now, I saw a Chuvas Marashdam in Siman Kuf Nun Aleph that extends this to an absolutely fascinating case. There were three partners that did business. They lent money to Goyim, and very often they were given a mashkin, they were given collateral, which when the person didn't pay back, it was sold. Now, made a nice parnasa, but Vayihi Hayoyim, the economy, the partnership ended up disbanding. And what happened is that the economy took a turn for the worse. So, what happened? So, as apparently what's been going on for a few millennia, when the economy sours, you blame the Jews. So the Goyim, who had been clients and customers, started coming up and complaining that they were taken advantage of, that they took collateral and they sold it at less than its value. And there were various alilois that they were going after the partners for the business they had done in the past. So when the three partners saw what was going on, they realized that if they stick around, they're going to have bigger and bigger tzaris. So two of the partners decided to pick themselves up and flee the country. They're gone. No one will be able to go after them. The problem is the third partner had a family, and for him it was very difficult to leave. So they had a huge machlokes. The partner who was wanted to remain behind said, "I can't run. I have a family. But when you were here, when people came after me, I had two other people to help me out to help me litigate." And if I lose, we split the losses three way. You're going to skip the country. Now no one's going to be here to help me. And if I have to make any payments, I'm not going to have any recourse. I'm not going to be able to go after. You're not around. I won't be able to force you to chip in for your fair share. Okay, so as far as partnerships, it is the Marashdam, most of the Tshuva deals with whether the partners are responsible for the loss. Marashdam's chiddush is that although when you have partners, and then there's an alila, someone goes, a goy comes after one of them, shaloi kedin, the other partners can say, mazlecha garam, it's not our problem. He says, over here, they all benefited from the partnership. So they did a deal, everyone split the profits. And now as a result of the deal, there's a loss. You can't go ahead and when there's a profit put in your pocket, when there's a loss, tell your partner, listen, you're on your own. So Rashdam says in this case, where they had split the profits, everyone's liable for the losses. So on one hand, the one partner said, I want you to remain behind to help me. Or at the very least, I want you to leave behind assets or an ariv, so that if I have to make payments, I have who to go to. On the other hand, the two partners said, Adarabba, we want you to run away as well. Because if we're responsible for the losses, if you stay behind, you're going to end up with losses. We're going to be responsible. You should leave. Skip the country. And that way, we won't have any hefzedim. So Rashdam first deals with the fact, he says, that two partners are allowed to run away. They do not have to leave any areivim. If there is a loss, the partner will have to go after, will pursue them then. He cannot proactively demand that they leave someone behind to help him out. But as far as the second issue, can the two... What? The Rashdam says they are responsible since they profited from they took the profits from this venture. They're responsible for the losses that come afterwards. So then Rashdam says, why can't they tell him that you have to leave? Because if you don't leave, you're a mazik. You're causing us a loss. Because if you skip town, the goyim have no one to go after, there won't be any hefzedim. But if you remain behind, now already we're going to have losses which we're going to be responsible for. So therefore, al tilchus mazik, we should be able to force you to leave. So Dr. Rajdan, wait a second. He brings in our concept. We pass like Rabbi Yossi. That unless it's giri delay, unless you're actively doing something, al nizik lahachik kasatzma. So therefore, the remaining partner can say, listen, I might be a mazik by staying, but it's not adam hamazik. I'm not going ahead and breaking your window. It's not adam hamazik. The question is whether it's a niske shcheinim type of hezek. Through my being here, you're having a loss. The rule is, if it's not giri delay, you have a problem, you have to deal with it, you have to resolve it. So therefore, you go fix the problem, I don't have to leave. Zog Rashdam, not so fast. Because what do we just say from the Tshuva Rosh? That even when it's not giri delay, if the mazik is the one that can solve the problem, the nizik has no way of dealing with it, and there's a big loss, we shift the burden. Zogdan Rashdam, according to the Rush, the two partners should be able to force the third partner to leave. Because even though al nizik lahachik, since they have no way of solving the problem, as long as this third partner is local, there are going to be losses. The only one that can solve that is him. So therefore, al hamazik lahachik, the Rashdam suggests you should be able to force him to leave. Now, halacha l'mayisa, he says not like this. He says, halacha l'mayisa, even the Rosh that says al hamazik lahachik, he dug the ditch. He did some action that caused the damage that was wrong. So there, even though it's not giri delay, we say, since you're able to resolve it, not the other person, don't dig any ditches that'll cause problems. On the other hand, when it's totally passive, he's just there. I mean, he's just alive. That's the problem. That he's alive and he's local, where he didn't do any action. There he says the rosh wouldn't apply, and the partners should not be able to force him to leave. But with absent that, and since he is the one that's able to address the issue, the Rashdam says, based on this rosh, he would have the responsibility to go ahead and to... He would have the responsibility to go ahead and to and to leave to prevent the partners from having a hefsed. Yes, correct. That's also true. Correct. That is true. The Rashdam does not point that out at Sarufi and why, but the Rosh clearly is saying it's where the Mazik can fix it and the Nizik could without a tremendous difficulty. Enochrami. L'chari, that's a good that's another svara why the Rosh would not apply. I don't know why the Rashdam doesn't bring out that point, but L'chor, you are right.
I would imagine that in litigation, if he brings the partners into the equation in court, let's just say, he says, listen, I'm not the only guy, I have partners, and they're responsible, they're partly responsible. Now he's not a Shev Al-Tas
anymore. Perhaps, but I don't think we're dealing with litigation. I think we're dealing with a mob or a pogrom, you know, go forcing him to pay, give back the money. We weren't dealing with litigation. The other two partners were long gone. There was no way anyone was going after them. So that's banana chami. If he brings them in and causes them damage, we'll have to deal with Hilchos Mesira and Mazik and, you know, in that context. But that wasn't the story that he was dealing with. Now the Mishkan Shalom brings another example of this. He says, what happens if you have a beautiful garden and you have a fancy for exotic plants and trees? Your neighbor, unfortunately, has very sensitive allergies. And you want to plant a tree that your neighbor will have some sort of allergic reaction to. Can he stop you from doing so or not? Now over here, you're planting the tree b'toich shaloi. There's no giri delay. You're simply putting a tree. You're on your own property. You're minding your own business. So under normal niske shchenim, your neighbor should have no right to be able to stop you. And the fact that he's allergic is al nizik b'harchikas atzmon. However, if you have this rush, that if you have a case where there's a tremendous hefset, where for your neighbor he has an allergic reaction that will cause tremendous problems, he has no practical way of protecting himself other than walking around with a gas mask all day, so there's no practical eitzah for him to resolve it. For you, all you have to do is your beautiful garden will have one less tree. You simply won't plant this. So, based on this Chumas HaRosh, the neighbor L'chari would have a taina, don't plant something that will impact me where I won't be able to protect myself. Now, we discussed last week as well, the Ramah discussed cases of really it's a Gemara, where if you have an upstairs and a downstairs, and the fellow upstairs is pouring water, taking showers, there's a leak, it's coming down to the and it's bothering the neighbor downstairs. So here we said it depends whether it's giri. If there's a tremendous amount of water, there's a hole in the floor, and it comes directly down to the bit downstairs, that is giri delay. And we can stop the fellow upstairs from using the water in a way that directly causes damage to the fellow downstairs. On the other hand, if it's less water, and it gets absorbed, and ultimately, just over time, it manages to make its way downstairs, or it doesn't go direct, it moves around in different places, it comes out in a different place. So there, that is not giri delay, and there the nizik would have the obligation to take care of himself, unless we have the rosh svara, unless there is it's something which the nizik can practically, there's no practical way for him to protect himself that would shift the liability. But in absence of that, if either of them has equal ability to cure the problem, then it would depend whether it's giri, depend how direct it is. Now that's in the case where the person on top is pouring water. He's taking a shower, he's washing an egelvasser, and that water is leaking into the downstairs. What happens in a slightly different case? You have a fellow on top who has a penthouse, who has a porch, and the runoff or the rainwater ends up coming through his house, and it ends up in the apartment underneath. Whose responsibility is it to fix the roof, to make sure that the rainwater does not seep into the downstairs apartment? So over here, the Ramah quotes the Chuvas Rivash, that here, there's no giri. When you're taking a shower, when you're pouring water and it ends up going downstairs, so if it goes right away, if it happens and in the same place, that's giri delay, we have the right to stop you. On the other hand, if it's rainwater that's coming in, You're not pouring the water. You're not causing it to rain. So even though it's channeling or coming through your apartment, nevertheless, it's not your action, it's not your delay, and the responsibility to fix it would be on the downstairs neighbor. Now this is actually a bit of a problem, because although in Siman Kufnun Hei Niske Shcheinim, this is the Ramah brings down the Rivash as a halacha psuka, that it's the downstairs person's problem, because the upstairs did not do any action. Nevertheless, in Siman Kuf Samach Dalet, where it talks about when you have two people who are shutzpim in a property, who is responsible for what? So there, there are Paskins, that when you have an upstairs and downstairs who own a property, the downstairs fellow is responsible for the walls and for the floor and for the ceiling. The upstairs is responsible to fix the roof. So it's a very clear halacha, the responsibility to fix the roof and make sure there are no leaks is on the fellow who lives upstairs, not on the fellow that lives downstairs. So the question is, what's the halacha? Is the person upstairs responsible or not? One person owns the bottom. Each person owns his unit. However, when you have two people, one owns the upstairs and one owns the downstairs, they are partners to a certain degree. If the fellow upstairs would decide, I want to take off the roof, he has a shiba to the person downstairs. And the person downstairs would decide, I want to take off one of my walls, which will obviously make the upstairs to collapse. He can't do that. There are shibud. So here there are a number of different rutsim. One pshat, I think, which is really what you're driving at, is enachanami. We're dealing with really two separate halachas. In Kuf Samach Dalet, it's Hilchos Shutvos. If you have two partners, one owns the upstairs, one owns the downstairs, in Hilchos Shutvim, who's responsible for the maintenance of each part? And on that we say, the fellow upstairs is responsible to maintain the roof. That's in Hilchos Shutvim. Over here we're dealing with Niskei Shcheinim. What happens if water comes in? Is that damage or that hezek that's happening your responsibility? A nafkamina would be, is what if the roof is in perfect condition? There's nothing wrong with it. But there's a marble outside. It's a tremendous rainy season, global warming, whatever you want to blame it on, there's a huge amount of water coming in. So if we're dealing with Hilchos Shutvim will tell you that if you're the upstairs person, your roof has to be in good working condition. So as long as it's a normal roof, it's in normal working condition, the fact that right now there's a marble going on is not my problem. I did what I have to do as a partner. There's damage. What do you want from me? I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. On the other hand, over here in Kufnun Hei, we're talking about Niskei Shcheinim. Here we're dealing with the idea that if I'm causing water to come in, then it's my responsibility. The Ramah is saying, since you're not taking any action, you're not the one that's pouring the water, it's passive, there in Niskei Shcheinim, we cannot force you to take action. So therefore, as a partner, you have to do whatever a partner does, and that's Kuf Samach Dalet. You'll have to fix the roof simply because you have a Shibud as a partner. But once you do what a partner has to do, the roof is in normal working condition, then because in Niskei Shcheinim it's not your responsibility, you're not the one pouring the water, you have no liability once the roof is normally fixed like a typical normal roof. Okay, so two things. First of all, it might be a good marpeset, but if the engineering was done poorly and it's cascading into the fellow underneath, I would argue it's not good. It wasn't done correctly. But on top of that, there's a Rajba which might argue on. There's a bit of a steer between the Rajba and the Rivash. The Achroinim, the way they answer is they say that even though we're saying rainwater is not your responsibility, still if you want to go ahead and on your roof make a drain, have everything drain into a spout, and have that spout go right into your neighbor's basement. You're not going to be able to argue it's not giri delay, I'm not making it rain. Because you're channeling that by setting up that marzah, by setting up that drain and channeling it into your neighbor, that itself is your action. So although you're not pouring the water, you're channeling it into this place which creates the problem. So in Cain, if you have a marpeset which is designed poorly and whether it's your intent or not, but its water is cascading now through the marpeset into your neighbor's property, there, based on this rajba, where you're doing an action to channel the water, there he'd have the right to stop you, and that would be back into Niskei Shcheinim. The Nesivos actually has another shot in this steer between Kuf Samach Dalet and Kuf Nun Hei. And he says, if you look at the true of the Rivash, he's dealing with a very interesting case. A person owned a property, and he owned the entire house. And the roof, there was a drain, there was the water used to run from one part of the roof to the other part of the roof. There was a drain. The fellow, the owner, sold off half of the property to one person, and then he sold the other half to another person. And at that point, the two buyers got into a fight. The person who the water was coming into said, "I bought the property. When I bought it, the owner didn't retain any easement, and therefore I am now blocking off this pipe. I'm no longer allowing the water to go from your part of the roof into my part of the roof." That was the time. And the Rivash, after going through the sugya, says he has the right to do that. There is no easement. He has the right to say, "I'm now blocking off the pipe. Your water can't come into mine." Now, what happened is that he blocked off the pipe, and now the water is not coming into his roof. But what happens when you block off a pipe in the middle of the roof? There's now an accumulation of water on the other person's side, but it's right out the border. So what happened is the water started seeping through and went into the property, started damaging the property of the person who stuffed up the pipe. He then turned around, and basically to add a chutzpah upon his chutzpah, he said, "You're a mazik. Your water is coming into my property." On that, the Rivash says, "You have nothing doing. He doesn't have a claim." Zakhna Nesivos, you want to know why? How can this be? We just said in Kuf Samach Dalet that when you have an upstairs and a downstairs, their partners, the upstairs has to fix it. He says that's very nice. When you have two partners, the upstairs has to take care of it. He has responsibility to the downstairs that the water shouldn't seep in. But if the downstairs person is the one that stuffed up the drain, which causes the water to come in, he then can't say, "You're my partner, so you have to build a better roof." That doesn't make sense. It's one thing when you have two partners and everyone's acting in good faith. So when I take the upstairs and you take the downstairs, I'm accepting responsibility to make sure my upstairs won't leak. But when the downstairs person causes the leak in the first place, he can't turn around and then bring the upstairs neighbor to a din Torah to fix the leak. He says that's why in the Rivash's case, there's no chiyuv of shutvim. He doesn't have to care for the roof. But in a normal case, we have two partners, no one did anything wrong. There, because of hilchos shutvim, the upstairs fellow would have to fix the roof. Correct, which means it wasn't very effective, and he's better off just allowing that drain and just let it run off. But to stuff up a drain and then say the resulting backlog is your problem, now fix the roof, that you can't do in Hilchos Shutvim.
It would have come into his property.
It was, I mean, he didn't want the water on his roof. I don't know exactly where it was going, but it wasn't coming into his house. It was running through his roof, and it was draining somewhere. He had some reason why he wanted to stop that, but it wasn't in his property.
Had it gone into his property, then by him blocking it off, he would have never lost that thing?
Well, had it gone into his property, he would have the right, forget about blocking it off, he'd have the right to say, "Since you, the upstairs has to take care of the roof, go fix it. It's not working effectively because it's coming into my property." Because
since he wasn't fixing it, so he blocked it off.
Oh, okay. Then it'll come to Bezdin and say that you still have that original obligation to fix it. So that, you know, then he would win because of that. Now, although it comes out from the Shulchan Aruch that basically if you live in an apartment building, it turns out the fellow on the top floor should be responsible for the entire roof. That's what we're saying. The fellow on top fixes the roof. That's what you do in Hilchos Shutvim. Nevertheless, Halacha L'Maaseh, the minhag today is certainly not like that. The minhag today is that the structural areas, both the roof and the walls, are basically a shared responsibility. Everyone takes care of it, and certainly today the minhag would govern. Then, if you the shot in why it used to be the upstairs took care of the roof is it's from a rush. The rush says there's an umdana that the fellow downstairs takes care of the walls, his walls and his ceiling. And the umdana is it's sort of like a swap. The fellow upstairs will take care of the roof, and the fellow downstairs will take care of the walls and the floor / ceiling. However, today where there's no such swap. Everyone has responsibility for everyone. That's the minhag. That's the practice. Therefore, we certainly would go with the minhag. We would not follow the minhag that was, or the halacha that as described in Shulchan Aruch. So this is as far as rainwater. When you're pouring water, you're responsible if it's giri delay or if there's tremendous hezek that the other person cannot protect himself. On the other hand, if it's passive, it's just flowing in, there in general, you do not have a responsibility. You will have a chiyuv as a partner in some cases, but not from Nisrei Shechenim alone. Let's go on to some other cases of Niske Shechenim, of Giri Dilei. We described briefly that the Gemara has a case where a person, where the people were bloodletting on property next door. They were doing it in the open, and that attracted birds. The birds came, and depending on the Mershainim, they either made a lot of noise, or they would take the blood, they would move it on, they would get it, they would bring it to the properties next door. So the Gemara says that the neighbor has the right to object. This is Giri Dilei. You cannot go ahead and letting blood out in the open because of the damage that it causes to the neighbors. Now the question is, why is this Giri Dilei? What you're doing is letting blood. The problem is the birds come. They'll come, they'll either make noise, or they'll fly onto the neighbor's property. This sounds indirect. It doesn't happen right away. It's not your action. It's animals that are coming from the outside. Why is this your responsibility, according to Rabbi Yossi? In what way is this Giri Dilei? So here there's Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim learn that Enachanami. If the birds would come and they get dirty and they go to your neighbor, that's not Giri Dilei. You can't stop that. The problem is that the birds are going to come and they're going to be hanging around your bloodletting operations. You're not going to want that. Your customers are not going to be very happy if while they're busy being operated on, there are vultures circling around on top of them. So you're going to chase them away. And when you chase them away, they're going to go across to the next property. So what many Rishonim say, the hezek over here is not the actual letting blood. The hezek is when you come and you chase the birds away from your property onto the next property, that's already Giri Dilei. Now already, you're forcing them directly onto your neighbor's property. That is something that you're responsible for. Now, what we see from here is an important chiddush, that although this is a second step, bloodletting doesn't cause any damage. However, since when there's bloodletting happening, the normal thing to do is that people will chase it onto the next person's field. We can stop you from even beginning, from letting the blood, because if we let you do that, you're going to go ahead, and you're going to do the second thing, you're going to chase them onto to the neighboring properties that will cause damage. So we see in this case, Chedim, this is a Chiddush, you don't find it in Hilchos Mazik. In Hilchos Mazik, you're not allowed to cause someone damage. You can't take a brick and smash someone's window. We generally don't say you can't own a brick, because if you take the brick, you'll use it to cause damage. Again, we find Gzeiros by a Kelev Ra, certain very limited examples. But by Nizkei Shechenim, since if we allow this, the norm is it will lead to damage through Giri. Therefore, Chazal said you can't start this in the first place. We will not allow any bloodletting because it will lead ultimately to a Giri Dilei. That is the pshat of some Rishonim. So it means that it's the neighboring property, and when you...
Three neighbors.
Good, so that means there'll be a hezek to one of them. You shoot an arrow with a blindfold, you don't know which way it'll go, but it's going to be mazik someone. So in this case, there certainly will be a hezek, and that's enough to be Giri Dilei. Like we mentioned, Giri Dilei is, the Rishonim all say, it doesn't have to be... When you shoot an arrow, we don't need this Rishonim. That's Adam Hamazik. So it doesn't, you don't need, grama is enough, grama de mamayna is enough there, we don't have to go that far. But while letting blood is too far removed, shooing the birds that will directly fly to a neighbor, that itself is enough to be Giri Dilei. Now the second pshat, which we mentioned last week, is that it's one thing when, so you put a ladder, if animals would just come later, that would not be a Giri because it's too indirect, because it takes time. On the other hand, to put bait, which literally the teva is, it draws the animals here. And once they come, they don't just stay over here. It's drawing the animals to the area and they're going to spread out. That itself is considered a giri. Because it's one thing if you just go ahead and put a ladder and animals that walk by will see the ladder and say, and jump in. But over here where you're literally drawing them to you, that already would be a giri Dilei even if you're not actually chasing them away. Now, a nachmina is what happens if you have a person in an apartment building and he is an absolute slav. And he leaves his live. There's food. There are all sorts of things around, and it's a magnet for different ants and cockroaches and infestations. So if the pshat over here is the reason why it's giri is because you're attracting the animals, So if you have a mess that's attracting the bugs, that's giri delay. Once the bugs come, they do not discriminate. They don't only stay in your apartment, they spread around. We have the right to stop you. On the other hand, the problem is of giri delay is not the attracting them. It's the fact that when they're here, the owner shoos them into the next property. Not many people go around and chase bugs from one property to the next. So in that case, according to these Rishonim, it would be less clear whether this would be a giri delay, whether you could stop the person from having a mess. So it would come out l'choira. It's a machloikis. It's a seika didina. And the slob should be able to say kimli, that you cannot stop me from attracting cockroaches because I'm just attracting them. I'm not actually chasing them into your property. Now, that being said, the Mishkan... It could be. Erechanami. Mishkan Shalom says that, no, it's not true. Because we can pull out our favorite rush again and say that, wait a second, for you to go ahead and to be neat, that's something which you can take care of. A hefsin maruba, it isn't. You know, it might be a little bit difficult for some people. It's not such a big imposition to say a person should be neat. On the other hand, if you live like a slob, the neighbors can exterminate all they want. They're always going to have a problem. So here, since this is something, even if you go that it's not giri, since this is something that the nizik cannot protect himself from, and the mazik could protect him, can prevent the hezik simply by living like a normal human being, so there, based on the rush, we would be able to shift the burden, and lekuliyama, you'd be able to force the mazik to go ahead and to clean up his house. Okay, so now we're going to have to get to, in all of these cases, if you take an arrow, a real giri delay, you take an arrow and you shoot it, that's adam hamazik, you're going to be responsible. In many of the other cases where it's only a gram, it's not, you're not going to, in many cases you will not be able to mechayev him, it's a machlokes rishonim, where to draw the line, but we're going to have to leave that for another shiur. But now you have, sometimes we have the opposite case. A person lives in an apartment, he has a perfectly neat house, but unfortunately, an infestation comes in, he wants to exterminate. Now, very often, if you exterminate in your house, in an apartment building, what happens? You go ahead, you put out all the poison, and the bugs all skedaddle. But where do they go? So, they go next door. So very often, we have an apartment building, and one person exterminates, he ends up chasing the infestation next door. So what happened is, the neighbors all came and complained. They said, listen, you have a problem. You have bugs in your house. We, Baruch Hashem, we don't have any issues. But if you bring in your exterminator, you're going to solve your problem. But you're going to chase them all to our house. And now we'll have the problem. We'll have to exterminate. So they wanted to say, Adrabah, it's usur for you to exterminate because this is the equivalent of chasing the birds from your property to the next. So the person exterminating in this case, L'choyre, is a giri delay according to the Rishonim. L'choyre, it's a good time. If by you doing it, you're chasing, you have a problem, you're going to chase them to the property next door, that l'chayra, you should be able to be ma'akiv. What? Wait a second, the birds that came, you don't own the birds? Good, so they came, wait a second. The fact that we're saying, that's the other pshat. The one pshat was, you drew them, that's giri delay. The other rishonim said, no, drawing it is not giri delay. The giri delay is, when they're here, you're going to chase them next door. Taking birds with blood on them and chasing them next door is a giri. And you can't do that. So l'choyre, exterminating, if you're chasing them next door, this should be giri delay and this should be awesome. Now, halacha l'mayis, the Mishkan Shalom over here also says that it would be mutter, and he suggests two svaras. The first is, really going back to your point, when you shoo the birds away and there's blood, they're not going very far. They're going to the property next door. We may not know which side, but they're staying local. Exterminating very often will hopefully kill all of them. Sometimes they'll end up with this kind of situation where they'll end up next door, but it's certainly not muchach. On top of that, it's really not a maisa biyadayim. When you chase birds away, you're chasing them away. When you're exterminating, you're killing them. Now, it could be some of them won't get killed and they'll end up next door, but it is less direct. It's not a mice of chasing them to your neighbor, directly to the neighbor. And lastly, it could be we can use the other svarah of Chazanish that we spoke about in the context of making noise. That although if you have a neighbor that's very sensitive, that's not feeling well, you cannot make a noise that will bother him, that will keep him up at night. Nevertheless, the Chazanish says you can only stop someone from making noise when he's making extra noise. He's going ahead, he's having a party, he's doing something which he doesn't need to do. On the other hand, to stop a person, children from making noise, or to tell a person you can't do laundry ever because I'm sensitive to the washing machine, that you can't do, because you can't stop a person from using his house in the normal and typical fashion. That's something which, even when he's causing damage to the neighbor next door, you can't prevent him from doing. Now, it's a very reasonable argument to say that forcing someone to live with an infestation and saying you don't have the right to exterminate because of the impact to me, the person can say, listen, you're not allowing me to live. I can't live with these bugs. I have to do something to get rid of it. And therefore, based on this other chazonish, where exterminating is a basic necessity to have a normal lifestyle, so there perhaps it would be mutter to do it, even if it would be, giri delay. Okay, if it's going to spread anyway, perhaps it wouldn't be a taina. Yeah, and repellent might be, would be more direct. That would be chasing them, right? Yeah, and echanami.
If you put in your lease that you can't claim kimli, you have to we're going to go to such and such about that, and you have to listen to what he says. And you can't say kimli. Does that have teeth?
Yeah, in general it was. In general it will. But then again, if there's no kimli, it still leaves the whoever's poskening. Even if there's no kimli, he still has a suffix. He will not necessarily know which way to go. But certainly, you can write. But you certainly could write. A person could waive his rights to claim kimli. Again, it's too general of a question to what is chiyuvim are. The issue here is what happens if by fixing this one apartment, it's hurting someone else, and that's the issue. Can a neighbor say you have a problem, you're infested? That doesn't give you right to give you delete. The same way we understand, you can't go in, pick up the cockroaches and deposit them next door. We all understand you can't do that. But so the problem is, effectively, when you're exterminating, if you do it in this way, that's what's happening. And that's the issue of Giri, and that's...
Okay, you said when he gets lost, then the question whether or not he's causing the damage to you. Let's say he's not, he just happens to... But if he doesn't fix the problem, then it's
going to
spread to the rest of the building.
Mm-hmm. He might, and that'll be in Hilchos Shutfim. There might be a chiyuv. They have to split the chiyuvim. We're dealing with here niske shchein. Can you prevent a person from being a slav? Or can he say, I'm doing what I want? I'm planting a tree. My tree is going to ruin your bar. But the halacha is, according to Rabbi Yosi, you cannot prevent me because I'm doing b'toich shali. And if you have a problem, you deal with it. When the roots grow into the bar, you cut the roots. I don't have to refrain from planting a tree because it'll hurt you. So to the extent that you hold that having food around or a mess is not a giri delay, the person would say it's within my rights to live like this. So again, we have that discussion. Maybe it is giri, maybe it isn't. Maybe we have the tshuva sarash. But straight halacha, if you're doing something in your property and it's not giri delay, the fact that another person will have a loss is his problem. And this is glahachik, it's not your problem.
Why do we apply the giri delay concept, let's say, to competition in business? You have two stores, and one puts a crazy sale out, whatever he does, across the street from the other guy, it's all the giri delay. And he's going to flock him in, and he's being bothered.
Okay. In some cases you will, but it's not the sugya of giri delay. And actually, giri delay, that lashon is used in the context of this, of partnerships. But let's go back for a moment. As we mentioned, the svara of giri delay, we're not dealing with a regular adam hamazik. In the regular criteria, whether you are mazik, can we mechayiv you as a bari hazeka? In many, not all, but in many cases, there's no tvias mam. What we're dealing with is niske shcheinah, which the way the Chazon Ish understands is we have to make rules where people to balance the fact that I can do what I want on my property, but I have to have some responsibility to the neighbors. Giri delay is a svara in that. Where with giri delay, we look at it, this is not a property rights issue, this is a question where you're impacting another person, therefore we can stop you. So the real halachas are limited to niske shcheinah. Again, this language of giri delay is used in other places, but it's probably more a borrowed lashon than referring to these the technical details of this halach. Okay, which case? Where you want to stop a person from being a slav, they're trying to stop him from exterminating? Well, let's go. Wait a second. In the case of bloodletting, he has a bloodletting operation. This is his parnasa. We're stopping him from using his private property to do his parnasa because of the impact it'll have on the neighbors.
He's doing something.
So here he's exterminating. The exterminating, if you look at it as shooing the bugs from my property to the next, that's the same thing as chasing the birds from one property to the next. So if when you have a problem, fine, fair. That's true. But if you have a problem, does that give you the right to break someone else's window? In other words, if giri delay is a mazik, do you have the right to be mazik someone else to get out of your hezek? Now, in truth, the Chazanish is really saying yes. In some cases where you can't live, where it's not just a problem, you can't live in a house that's infested. There, even when it's giri, you have the right to do what you need to do to protect yourself. But if it wasn't so extreme, it was a minor, a couple of bugs here and there, which people are fine with. Your wife happens to be especially a mafunik and it bothers her, so then perhaps the chazanish may not apply. And this would be if you are directly chasing them next door. Again, that's a big if. But if that's how we look at the mitzvahs, then perhaps we'll be able to stop them. Okay, want to go through briefly one last case of giri delay. And that is, Gemara says, you cannot set a goyrin kavua. You cannot have a place where you're winnowing flax, which you're throwing it up in the air, and the wind goes ahead and blows all of the junk away, and the good stuff falls down. That is, again, giri delay. Now, over here, the Gemara points out this is a chiddush. The hezek over here is the fact that things are blowing into your neighbor's property. Now, you're not biadayim throwing it into the property. You're just throwing it up, but wind, a ruach, comes and blows it next door. Nevertheless, because it doesn't require a hurricane, a ruach matsuya, a typical wind that comes by, is enough to blow it into your next door neighbor's property. That is considered giri delay, and we can stop a person from having a goyrin kavua, from setting up a goyrin in his property. Now here there are two interesting chedushim. Chazanish points out, why is it only ushered by a goyrin kavua? A goyrin kavua means you're constantly, it's a large-scale operation. If the halacha is that when you throw something up and the wind blows it into your neighbor's property, that's called giri delay, it should be ushered to do it even once. Why is it only a goyrin kavua that's ushered? Zog l'chazaynish, a tremendous chiddush. But it's, again, very consistent with all the other things we've seen from the chazaynish. The Chazanish says that a goyrin kavua, where you're constantly doing it, your neighbor's property is filled with the leftover junk, it's a big hezek, you can't do it. That's giri delay. On the other hand, if you're a regular homeowner, and every once in a while, chveis, you want to dust off your rug, so you take them outside and you bang them, even though there will be some level of hezek, even though the wind will blow that into your neighbor's property, since it is only on occasion, it's not a big hezek. And more than that, to prevent someone from going ahead and dusting out his rugs every once a year is a big imposition. What's he supposed to do? How's he supposed to clean his rugs? So in that case, Chazal did not make a gzeira. It's only when there's a tremendous hafsid where it's constant, there they came in and said, this is giri delay. But if you're doing something every once in a while, and at that point it causes some level of damage, there they did not step in and answer it. Now this is a tremendous yisoid. Again, you have to know how far to take it. But for example, if you're doing construction, you're going ahead, you're extending your house. While you're doing the construction, it's very likely there's going to be a lot of dust and dirt blowing onto your neighbor's property. But it's a very limited time frame. It's not going to cause a tremendous amount of damage. It'll be a nuisance. It'll be going on for a few days, a few weeks, however long it will be, and then it'll be over. So it's very likely, if you pull out this chazanish, that it's only when it's a goyrin kavua, it's only when it's a constant and regular thing which causes significant damage, that's giri delay. On the other hand, if it's on occasion, even though it's in theory it's giri delay, if it's only on occasion, and preventing you from doing this occasionally would be a big imposition on the homeowner, there we cannot do so, and it would be mutter. So that is the first chiddush of chazanish. The second chiddush of this case is that even though when you throw the things up, on its own, what'll happen? It'll fall down. With the wind, when the wind comes, the wind is what's going to blow it onto your neighbor's property. So we see clearly, and the Gemara really discusses this, that even though your action alone doesn't cause a damage, since a ruach mitzuyah, since a normal wind is enough to go ahead and make this into a mazik, that will make it into a giri delay, and we can prevent you from doing it. The fact that your action alone doesn't cause the damage is not an excuse, it's not a defense, since bottom line is the damage will occur through a ruach mitzuyah, we have the right to stop you. Now, the obvious extension of this case is what happens if you do have a tree and you do not take care of the leaves. They end up blowing onto your neighbor's property. So arguably, we can apply this halacha. Since with a ruach mitzuyah, they will end up all over your neighbor's property, perhaps you have the right to stop them. Again, it's not quite as simple, but we'll, Mirtz Hashem, get back to this next week.